Chapter 27 Alpha Red, Kip said, as if having trouble believing his own words. He walked distractedly to the Yamask basin, his boots leaving prints in the liquefied Blorash jelly. There he gestured to the gruesome scene. Malik Kar, the priest, and eight warriors, bleeding from mouths, eyes, ears. Amphistaffs, Villips, and Yamask, dead. Yorick Coral, bleached of color. Alpha Red. Han and Leia traded questioning glances with each other and with Paige. Lando, Talon, and Shada did the same. "Is that some sort of curse I'm not familiar with?" Lando asked Kip.
"You could say that."
Kip sat down on the basin's curved step.
"Alpha Red is the name of a Yuuzhan Vong specific poison developed by Chiss scientists and Difskaur's intelligence gang. From what I know about it, and I don't know a lot, the starting point was Baphor tree pollen, and the bioweapon just kept growing from there."
"Kip, how do you even know anything about this?" Leia asked.
"A dubious privilege of being a member of Cal Omis's advisory council," he said. "The first batch, the trial batch, was refined about a year ago and tested in secret. It might have been deployed full-scale at the time, if not for two things. Our victory at EBAC 9 and Vergere."
"A Fosh Jedi of the Old Republic,"
Leia explained for the benefit of Paige, Malok, and some of the others.
"Vergere lived as a spy among the Yuuzhan Vong for 50 years. She helped rescue our son Jason at Mirker, and died at EBAC."
"A month or so before EBAC," Kip added, "Vergere stole the sample batch of Alpha Red and destroyed it, or somehow transformed it into something harmless." He glanced at Leia, and she nodded for him to continue. "Alliance Command ruled it an act of treason, but not much has been said about Alpha Red since then, in part because it's been rumored that Jason had something to do with Vergere's escaping the military cordon set up at Kashyyyk. I thought the project had been scuttled. Obviously, I've been kept out of the loop."
"This stuff doesn't only kill individual Yuuzhan Vong," Han said, looking around the chamber.
Kip nodded. "You're right about that. It targets some genetic or cellular component that the Yuuzhan Vong share with all their biotes, from the smallest right up to the largest, even their war vessels."
"The crashed coral skipper," Leia said.
Han regarded Paige with suspicion. The captain raised his hands in innocence.
"Han, I swear, this is the first I've heard of Alpha Red."
Han looked at tall Malok, who shook her head.
"If I knew about Alpha Red, I'm certain I would have done what the Jedi did."
All heads turned to Raw, whose head fur stirred. Then the Bothan intelligence agent shrugged nonchalantly.
"Alliance Command wanted field assurance that Alpha Red would work outside a laboratory setting. It's been used effectively on captives, but we couldn't be sure what would happen in an uncontrolled environment. When intelligence learned that Kalula had been targeted by the Vong for occupation, it was chosen to be Planet Zero, step one in winning the war."
Malok loosed a mournful sign.
"Extermination.
More of the Bothan outcry."
His hands curled into claws. Han stormed across the chamber, but he made it only halfway to Raw before Kip wrapped his arms around him in restraint.
"That's why Kalula's governor promised a peaceful surrender," Han yelled. "Your people let the orbital station fall just so you could launch this half-witted plan."
"Take it easy, Solo," Raw said. "If I'd been in on the planning at that level, you think I'd be along on this little joyride? I'm here as an observer, nothing more."
"Nothing more?" Han struggled against Kip's hold. The muscles in his neck stood out like cables. "This whole op has been nothing but a reconnaissance to see if Alpha Red had done the trick."
"Not true," Raw fired back. "Our mission was to destroy the Yamask, and now the thing's dead. Alliance had good reason to believe that the Vong were planning to use Kalula as a fallback point."
I've no explanation as to why there aren't more war vessels in orbit."
Han relaxed and Kip let him go. "So if Alpha Red failed, then we'd be on hand to make sure the Yamask was killed."
Raw shrugged again.
"Director Scour is big on redundancy, but yes, he wanted to be confident that the Yamask would die one way or the other."
"You knew all along," Leia said to Ra. "The patrol we ambushed, the crashed coral skipper."
"I'll admit that I was encouraged by what I saw."
Han sneered. "You know better than the Yuuzhan Vong."
Ra's fur rippled again.
"You said you wanted to teach me the ways of the world. Well, maybe it's you who needs the lesson. What we did here was necessary."
He pointed toward the ceiling.
"That Shaper and her special warriors are going to take Alpha Red to Yuuzhan Tar, and from there it's going to spread to other occupied worlds up and down the invasion corridor. So instead of ranting at me solo, you should be taking heart. The Vong's days are numbered. The war is essentially over."
"You killed them,"
Malok mumbled, then yanked herself from her musings in a wide-eyed panic to glare at Ra.
"You killed the winged stars."
Ra swallowed hard.
"You don't know that."
She collapsed to her knees to the spongy floor as if her legs had turned to gel.
"Don't you realize what you've done? What you've unleashed? The effects of Alpha Red aren't confined to the Yuuzhan Vong. Your superiors want assurance. Tell them that Alpha Red has surpassed everyone's expectations, Agent Ra. Sentient and non-sentient life is also susceptible. If those Yuuzhan Vong craft reach Coruscant, the entire galaxy could be at risk."
"What craft?" Lando asked. "What's she talking about?"
"A couple of enemy vessels went up the well just before you arrived," Page said.
Card whipped his comlink from his belt and activated the call button.
"Krev, are you receiving me?"
"Just barely, Talon,"
a deep male voice answered after several moments of static.
"What's your status?"
"I'll tell you later, Krev. Right now, you've got to alert boosters, gunners, to destroy every Yuuzhan Vong ship in the area."
Krev Bombassa laughed. "What did you think we've been doing? Not that there's been a whole lot of targets."
"Thank the Force,"
Malok said quietly.
"Only one ship got past us," Bombassa continued. "A corvette analog like nothing we've ever seen. Scaled with three pairs of pincer armrock spitters and an uplifted stern."
Han looked at Leia.
"The skips that chased us to Kalua. They must have been grown for the Slayers."
Han's alarm was enough for Talon. His hand tightened on the comlink.
"Krev, tell me you've still got that vessel in your sights."
"Hang on, Talon."
Everyone fell silent, waiting through several more moments of static. Then Krev's voice returned.
"Talon, sorry to report that the craft jumped to hyperspace before we could nail it."
Malok put her face in her hands and began to sob. Han worked his jaw in anger and dismay.
"Our only hope is that the crew dies before that ship reverts to real space."
On the bridge of the Bothan assault cruiser Ral Roost, Admiral Creefay swiveled the command chair away from the observation bay to listen to an update from the comm officer. Local space was strewn with warships, but untroubled. Blue Mon Calamari turned calmly below.
"Elements of the 2nd and 3rd fleets have repositioned to Mon Eran," the human officer said. "Grand Admiral Pelion reports that Right to Rule is underway to complement defenses there. Also, two Hapen battle groups have arrived from Iceberg 3 to reinforce Mon Calamari home defense forces. We should have visual contact with them at any moment, sir."
Creefay glanced out the observation bay. Ral Roost, along with the star destroyer Rebel Dream and the cruiser Yald, had relocated to Mon Calamari's moon in preparation for meeting the advancing armada head-on. With the Yuuzhan Vong moving towards Sep Elapor, the confrontation was hours or perhaps days away, depending on Nas Choka's strategy. But now the inhabited world of Mon Eran
fifth in the system, was in jeopardy. The system's fourth and third planets were on the far side of the sun. With the unexpected departure of almost half the enemy armada, some semblance of parity had been established. But with equivalence had come renewed ferocity, and, given the mounting casualties, the alliance was faring worse than it had at the start of the battle. Scanners displayed the heavily damaged frigates and pickets emptying their arsenals at the Yuuzhan Vong, and starfighters with wings blown off adding what they could to the fight. For every starfighter lost, three or four coral skippers disappeared from the theater. But the Yuuzhan Vong seemed to have a near limitless supply of the small craft, and as fast as a tentacle was decimated, it was refreshed by flights of skips avalanched from the dusky innards of enemy carriers, and brought into quick formation by however many Yamasks flew at the core. "Do we have news on the secondary flotilla?" Creefay asked. "Not yet, sir. To the best of our knowledge, the flotilla is still traveling coreward along the Perlemian." Seeing Sav, Commodore Brand, and other commanders were still adjusting to the fact that the separated cluster had departed by the same route the Yuuzhan Vong had taken to reach Mon Calamari. It was obvious now that the Yuuzhan Vong had no intention of using Tungul or Kalula as fallback or staging positions. Both planets had been diversions. Creefay berated himself for not having realized that the Alliance had been deceived when the Armada hadn't jumped directly to the Mon Calamari system. War Master Nas Choka simply wanted to clear the transit points of mines so that on withdrawal the secondary flotilla could attack the transceiving ships with impunity. But where was the flotilla bound now? Surely Nas Choka couldn't have learned about Coruscant. Was it possible that he had learned of the Alpha Red experiment on Kalula? No, Creefay told himself. If the War Master had had an inkling about Coruscant, why wouldn't he have left the secondary flotilla there, instead of bringing it halfway across the galaxy, only to send it back home? More worrisome was the possibility that the War Master had learned about Khan Troom. At the first indication of the flotilla's intent to jump, courier ships had been dispatched to the mid-rim world, and alerts had been sent via transceiving ships strung between Mon Calamari and Kashyyyk, and Kashyyyk and the Hapes Cluster. "Admiral, incoming communique from Kashyyyk Relay," the human officer said, pressing his headphones tighter to his ears. "Sir, General Kraken and Commanders Farlander and Dabip say that, with the whereabouts of the secondary flotilla unknown, the situation at Khan Troom has become unstable. Two Ariadoan task forces have already abandoned the fleet. The feeling among many of the other commanders is that everyone would be better living to fight another day, rather than risk jumping to Coruscant only to be trapped between the planetary defenses and the returning flotilla. With all due respect, Khan Troom Command requests permission to move their fleet to Mon Calamari Extreme and attack the Armada from there." "Negative," Creefay said, without having to think about it. Positioning his headset mic close to his mouth, he motioned for the communications officer to open an additional channel to Kashyyyk Relay. "Until the secondary flotilla reverts from hyperspace, there's no telling what the plan is. Those ships could simply be lying in wait, hoping for you to show up here so they can place you between them and the Armada. But as for Coruscant, I agree with your assessment, and hereby advise that you scatter the fleet on the off chance that Khan Troom is the flotilla's destination. Coruscant can wait for another day. It's Mon Calamari that's at stake now." "Khan Troom Command requests an update on the situation at Mon Calamari," a female voice at the other end of the transmission said. "We're holding our own," Creefay said bluntly, "but I don't know for how much longer. We're still outnumbered, and the enemy is not falling for the usual tricks. It's as even a match as I've seen this entire war. The only difference is that War Master Nas Choka is prepared to battle to the last, where I am not. And he knows that. He would sooner lose every ship
then return to Coruscant in disgrace. I, on the other hand, have to decide when it becomes more prudent to be careful than foolishly brave."
"Admiral," the female voice said a long moment later, "Commander Farlander says that he regrets that he is not there to help you make that decision."
Creefay grunted. "If it comes to opting for caution, we will adhere to our contingency plan to jump the fleet's rimward of Kubindi. We're a lot more familiar with the hyperlanes and the spiral arm than Nas Choka is."
The response was even longer in arriving. "Should it come to that, Admiral, are the Yuuzhan Vong likely to press the attack against Mon Calamari in your absence?"
"There's simply no telling. We'll have to trust that their cell of spies on Mon Calamari reported that Alliance leadership has been evacuated and that the planet is of no strategic value. Nas Choka doesn't strike me as someone who would kill an animal once it has showed its belly, which is essentially what we'll be doing. That he managed to chase us off will be sufficient reason for him to claim victory and retain his honor. It's what he hoped we would do from the start. Retreat and be chased."
"Admiral," the communications officer interrupted. Following the officer's lead, Creefay swiveled to the long-distance scanner display and couldn't believe his eyes. The Armada was tucking in its tentacles, recalling its legions of coral skippers, pickets, and frigates to their carriers.
"Enemy is preparing to jump to hyperspace," a Bothan officer said from his duty station on the port side of the elliptical bridge. Creefay came half out of the command chair in expectancy. "Order all starfighter wings to withdraw from engagement," he shouted. "Home defense capital ships and Golan defense platforms will cease fire and divert all power to forward particle shields. Instruct General Antilles that Mon Mothma should join Dauntless at Moonbright side."
"The Armada has jumped to light speed," the Bothan updated. "Bearing, coreward."
Creefay dropped back into the command chair as if he had gained 50 kilos. "I don't understand," he muttered, with equal measures of relief and agitation. Even if Nas Choka knew about Coruscant or Khan Troom, intelligence would have assured him that the secondary flotilla by itself included more than enough vessels to thwart an attack. And why jump now, with the battle at Mon Calamari continuing to turn in the Yuuzhan Vong's favor? It could only be another deception. He turned to the communications officer. "Send word to all warship and planet-based transceivers that the entire Armada is now on the move. I want immediate reports on any reversions to real space." The communications officer hurried for the comm board. Mystified, Creefay sat staring out into space. What in the galaxy just happened?